Our text for this morning's message is from that Old Testament reading we read from Exodus. And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, "Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you in accordance with all these words." Dear friends in Christ, the transfiguration of our Lord. Well, it actually serves as a very wonderful transition from Epiphany to Ash Wednesday, and of course into the Lenten season as we begin. The manifestation of the God-man there at Epiphany culminates in the majestic glory on Mount Sinai and the Mountain of Transfiguration. And of course, that looks forward to the greater revelation of the Lord's glory on the cross on Mount Calvary. See, the Transfiguration actually leads us to look to three mountains where the Lord's face is actually shining upon us. Of course, the Mountain of Transfiguration, Christ's face shines like the sun, is what it said. Well, it looks back to God's revelation to Moses there on Mount Sinai and to His covenant with Israel that day. One day, of course, we know the story very well. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John to a high mountain, and suddenly He's transfigured. His face shines like the sun. It doesn't say the sun shone on His face. It actually was the source of light. His face was shining like the sun. And we've got two people there with Jesus, Moses and Elijah. Peter, of course, what did he want? He wanted to stay. "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three tents. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. We can all hang out together." Of course, a loud voice immediately comes from the cloud and says, "This is..." I'm going to do my best Charlton Heston deep voice, or James Earl Jones deep voice. "This is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." And they fell down on the ground, fell on their face, and were terrified. Because when God speaks to an unclean people, we are terrified. We are very terrified. With that voice, they fall on their face and we're terrified. But what does Jesus do? He comes to them and He touches them. And He says, "Rise and have no fear." So in a very dramatic way, all that happened there on the Mount of Transfiguration actually confirmed that Jesus is the Messiah. He is God's Son. And the disciples were actually to listen to nobody but Him only. In fact, it says that when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. Well, we know this story very well. But the question comes, what's Moses doing there? What is Moses doing there? I mean, in our Old Testament reading, it's 1,500 years before Jesus' transfiguration. Well, Moses had been present at another appearance of our Lord's glory there at Mount Sinai. On that occasion, God was confirming the covenant that He had just made when He gave Israel the Ten Commandments. They would be actually to Him, as it says in chapter 19, verse 6, they would be to Him a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And three times in this, when Moses is telling them what God wants them to do, three times during this narration, they said that they would do all that the Lord had commanded. The last time they said, "We will do all that the Lord has commanded, and we will obey." We will be obedient. Of course, God's covenant with Israel at Mount Sinai actually looks forward to Jesus' bloody face on Mount Calvary. See, confirming the covenant with Israel required another dramatic act. It required the blood. Half of the blood, it says in the chapters before this, it says that Moses poured half of the blood on the altar, the blood of the sacrifice. The rest he showered over the people. Which is kind of amazing if you think about it. But bloody sacrifices were the way that God's Old Testament covenants were sealed. In fact, the word, the Hebrew word for to make a covenant literally is katav, which means to cut a covenant. And cutting a covenant required a sacrifice. So for a covenant to be fully enacted, in other words, for both parties to seal the covenant, they had to offer a sacrifice. The traditional sacrifice of a covenant between two parties was a bull or an ox, and they would cut it in half, spread it to both sides, and walk in between the carcass. That was cutting a covenant. You see that that happening actually with Abraham when God makes that covenant with Abraham. And the lampstands go through while Abraham's asleep. It's God doing the covenant thing here. It's not Abraham an even exchange. It's God doing it with Abraham. Here what we see is God is doing it with the people of Israel. The people of Israel aren't making a covenant with God. God is making a covenant with them. And so this blood is showered over the people. That's how covenants were sealed. See, Israel's worship always involved blood. Remember the Passover, the blood on the lintel. Then we have the Ark of the Covenant, the tabernacle, the temple, the sacrifices. They were usually sprinkled with blood during their worship. And here the blood was actually thrown onto the people as an act of purification, where the blood of the sacrifice purified God's people. Well, the new covenant was also inaugurated with blood. Hebrews 9 actually kind of details the relationship between the old covenant and the new. In verse 22, without blood there is no forgiveness. And then in verses 11 to 15, that it is Christ who enters into the most holy place as the high priest and brings himself as the sacrifice. We see this image over and over in the Old Testament worship with Christ taking the place of all of these things, realizing that the Old Testament worship, the Old Testament temple, the sacrifices were fulfilled, were culminated in Christ and his sacrifice. Of course, this sacrifice happens there on Mount Calvary, the third mountain. But unlike Mount Sinai or the Mount of Transfiguration, here Christ's face is not shining with glory. It's drawn and it's bloody. But that is the real glory of the Lord. You see, God's glory is actually to save us from our sins and to raise us to eternal glory. That's the cross. That is what the cross is. That's what Mount Sinai was pointing to. And that's what Jesus, Moses, and Elijah actually talked about there on the Mountain of Transfiguration. The blood of Mount Calvary is brought forward to us today in our divine service whenever we take Holy Communion. Because here too we see Christ's shining face. In the divine service we participate in the new covenant of Christ and the Holy Trinity. We do it by listening to God's Word, by receiving the blood of the new covenant, His body and blood given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. And in the benediction, the Lord make His face shine upon you. And brothers and sisters in Christ, being in the presence of God's glory, it doesn't have to terrify us. the old in Exodus, the elders, Nadab and Abihu and Aaron and Moses and Joshua and the 70 elders, well, they beheld God and they ate and drank. They sat. They were probably terrified to be in the presence of God, in the presence of the pre-incarnate Jesus. But they ate and they drank. You see, it's our gracious and precious Christ who then touches us and says to us, as he said to Peter, James, and John when their faces were on the ground, "Rise and have no fear. Your sins are forgiven." So following, of course, the transfiguration, Jesus leaves that mountain, the mountain of transfiguration, and returns to his ministry in a fallen, sinful, and troubled world. He's immediately confronted by a boy who's both sick and possessed, and then he faces jealousy among his disciples, brothers in the church sinning against one another, unforgiving attitudes, family problems with divorce and children, and so many other results of sin. When he comes down from that mountaintop, that's what he finds. Of course, it's no different for us. We leave church, our worship service, and, you know, where we get to hear from God's word and we get to partake in his body and blood in the sacrament of the altar. And we enter again into a decaying culture. The last thing that you get to hear is your pastor's voice, my voice, speaking the Aaronic benediction. Yeah, it's my voice, okay? But what I'm saying there comes from the Lord. See, it's the Lord who's blessing us with a real, effective, and heavenly blessing. The Lord make his face shine upon you and give you peace. Because we leave knowing that the Lord's face truly is shining upon us today and throughout the week. So come what may, we leave with comfort, with joy, with peace, and with hope. And we respond in song as we sing the closing hymn, or some might call it the hymn to depart. And as we rise to go, our Lord's words to his disciples on the mountain of the transfiguration echo in our ears saying, "Rise and have no fear. I am with you always to the very end of the age." In his name, amen and amen.